I think we're ready. Well, good morning, everyone. It doesn't seem as long this time since I were here. Sometimes it can be 6 months, can't it? But I don't think it's quite as long this time, will it? Nice to be with you again. Just before we start, I'll bring you a little bit of a testimony about what's happening at our church. You've probably heard, but and all those that come to this church have seen, saw the miraculous way in which God gave you this building, you know, and from sort of having just over £7,000 in bank, we ended up with this, didn't we? In a reasonably short time. Well, as you know, we, as a church of House of Grace, have been praying for a building for 3 years now. We've looked at various buildings and, you know, prayed in them and thought, it's, you know, some we thought, yeah, brilliant, but no money came. Some we thought, no, these are wrecked. You know, we just can't handle this type of sort of work they needed doing. But we knew there was something coming, but we didn't know when, and obviously it's God's timing, isn't it? We want it now, and God says it'll come when it's right, you know what I mean? And I think some of you probably know the gospel hall at Woth. We'd looked at that building on the outside probably about a year ago, saw that it was sort of getting neglected and falling down, and we'd phoned up about it. And Paul Moody said, no, this building is sold to the builders and we're going to give the money away sort of to India. He didn't tell us that, but that's where his plans were. So we didn't really think about that much more. But then a few weeks ago, in between this, Paul had passed away, but a few weeks ago, Claire had been talking to his niece. And his niece had said, well, they're still not doing up with that building. What's going off with it? And she says, well, I think builders are still on with getting the building. He says, but this is a number that you can ring, and this is the man that's in charge of sort of selling it now. Paul's passed away. So Claire comes to me and says, I've got this number off so-and-so, whatever they're called, I can't remember now. Not good with names. Just a number, no name to it. And she says, I don't want to phone them because I'm not good on phone. Will you phone them? Well, to be honest, we'd been looking at another building as well, which, and I'd got confused between the two which she were talking about. So I thought, I aren't ringing because I don't really want that building. Anyway, it turned out it was the Gospel Hall. And then sort of, I was working in my garage Thursday afternoon, and I just felt that I needed to ring this number, what she'd given me. So I don't know why I was listening. I tend to put Mission Praise on when I'm, Premier Praise on while I'm working in the garage, and I just felt I ought to ring the number. So I rung this number and I talked to this man, bearing in mind I didn't think I knew this man. Turned out he was called Mark, same as me. I says, oh, I'm Mark as well. I says, that's something we've got in common already. You know, it's funny how God sort of brings things together. And you won't believe how this works, that I'm talking to this Mark and I says to him, oh, I'm just being given this number from so-and-so about this church. I'm just inquiring it. Is it actually sold? Is the builder paying up, like? Because we've got some money that we've been saving for a deposit. And we would still be interested in having it as a church, like if he's messaging about it, or, you know, it hadn't gone or whatever. And it went quiet for a few seconds. And he says, well, to be honest, he says, this is just my opinion. There's another trustee as well. He says, but I'd rather you have it as a church. I'd rather gift it than build it, have it. That was the exact words to me after a couple of minutes talking to him on the phone. He said, I'd rather you have it as a church than the builder have it any day, because he's only going to make a profit on it, and we're going to send the money. Paul was talking about sending the money away to India. He said, I'd much rather have the church still in Woth, you know, and working in that area. So he says, well, this is only my opinion. I can't really sort of speak for the other man, John Moody, who was Paul's son, would come on board as a trustee but wasn't a Christian. He lived in a Christian world but not really a Christian, so both of them are still out of church, even this other man. Anyway, it turned out this Mark told me his second name and it was Bavister. Well, I thought something clicked there. I thought, I know this man. And when it turned out that it was his dad that married me and Diane at Barnsley Church, so there was a connection there. So that was strange, isn't it, how God works and brings things back together. And we actually knew this lad. We'd seen him when he's younger than us, obviously, but we'd seen him the times that we'd been to that church and met Dennis Bavister and that. So there was a connection there. I says, are you Dennis Bavister's son? He says, oh, yeah. And then he got told, he says, yeah, I think I can remember you. Were you that bloke with dark hair? And yeah, I says, that was me, but not anymore. and then we got talking about that. So he says, yes. He said, so he established a link that we were Christians for a long time, you know what I mean, and that we were in sort of the kingdom. He says, but I'll have to talk to this other person, this John, and see what he thinks, because he seems to think there's some money in this for him. But obviously there wasn't, because the church were in trust, so the money belongs to the trust, not the people. So even when they sold it, he couldn't have the money in a way, because it had to go to the trust. So he says, I'll have to get in contact with him first and I'll ring you back. Well, that was Thursday, midday Thursday, sort of quite late on Thursday afternoon, maybe. By Friday, he'd already rung me back and said, yeah, this other bloke agrees. Obviously, we've been praying in that time. He says, yeah, we want you. He says the same. He'd rather you to have it as a church. He says, well, what you can do is, if you want, you can come down and get keys and have a look. You can come to my house, pick keys, I'm going to have a look at the building. Let us know if you actually want the building when you've seen it. He says, because it's been empty for 5 years. Anyway, we did go up and I got the keys and went and had a look, didn't we? And it is rough. Needs everything doing. It's not been maintained for 5 years, but we know that if God provides the building, he's going to provide the rest of the stuff that we need, as we saw here. You know, the people and the skill and the money that we need to do that building up. But what an awesome way that God works, isn't it? A miraculous way that he works. Things that we can't see or even imagine, God has already been working them and stirring them up, you know, to bring them together for good for us, aren't he, as his people. So thank you for your prayers for that. We need even more prayers now that we get the job done. It's a lot to do. Probably can't see us being in till summer, really, because the amount of work that needs doing and making it into a disabled-friendly building and things like that. But God has done the work, he's provided it. So we believe that God's going to provide the money and the resources and the people to help us finish that work. And it's an awesome thing, isn't it, when God moves like that? Nothing we could have done whatsoever. From Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, within 3 days, we'd got a building that agreed that we could have the building. The week that followed, he says, what we'll do is we'll put you on as a trustee. If we can, you know, they put me on there, Gospel Hall, as a trustee. Once you get on as trustee, you can do what you like to building. That's what he says, because you'll have as much say on the building as us. Well, within a few days more, I'm a trustee. I've been a trustee now for a week and a half or so. So it's all moving so quickly, you know, from nothing in 3 sort of years. It's moved in 3 days. And that's pretty amazing how God sort of, you know, can just escalate things and move things in the world to suit the Christian kingdom, to suit the kingdom of God. And that just proves that sort of everything in the kingdom, in the world, is God's, isn't it? And when he says the time is right, there's nothing on earth that can stop it. There's no earthly powers that can stop God moving in the way that he wants to move. So thank you for your prayers so far for us. Again, a building, we've got one now. Please pray that, you know, the paperwork goes through easily as well. They've got to sort of, this tomorrow night, we're having a meeting with them, and I'm going to talk about, they're going to gift the building to us. So we want God's favour in, you know, speeding up the process of sort of getting the actual deeds, because we don't want to do, obviously, we don't want to do any major work until we get the deeds. But the way that God has been in it, in the speed that it's moved, I'm sure that, you know, the rest of it is just going to go smooth, and God's going to provide for us as he did sort of at this place as well, that we've already seen it once, you know, in a miraculous way that this building, the same, was sort of nearly wrecked, wasn't it? Chipped a bit of plaster off and the old wall fall down anyway. You know, but God provided the building, he provided the workers, he provided the money, didn't he? And it's the same there. So the building will have cost us nothing apart from, he says, if you just cover, this was his only stipulation, he says, if you just cover the cost that we've accumulated with the solicitor, then you can have the building. So it's going to, by the time we've, and some fuel bills and things they've got, so by the time they've done with everything, we're probably looking at about £10,000 for the building, which he was selling to the builder for 120 grand. Only God could do that, isn't there? Amen. So keep praying for us. We need your prayers. I'm going to play a song to start with, and actually this song is the sermon, really. So if you don't want a sermon, you can just listen to the song and I'll not even preach. As you know, I'm not brilliant with technology, but I can usually get this to work. Yeah, we're connected. Right, you know this song well. Sing along if you want. I'm going to play the whole song. And this is really what I'm going to preach about today, but this woman's singing it for you instead of me speaking it. I lost my connection there, but you know the song well, don't you? One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. And teach us to take one day at a time, one step at a time. And that's really what I want to talk about. If the song had played through, I might not have needed to do the sermon, but obviously I'm going to have to do the sermon now. That seems a bit weird without there. I'm going to move in a bit. Can't see you. That's better. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, tomorrow may never be mine. Famous song, but when you look at the words of it, it's actually quite scriptural, you know, to live one day at a time, to live our lives just focusing on God each single day. You know, I've got to say that I'm a person who thinks about the future quite a lot, and at the moment, I've got all sorts of plans for to move house, you know, in the next few years or whatever God timing God has for that. I also think, well, can I afford, this is just in my own life, I think, can I actually afford to fully retire? You know, I've had enough work, probably some of us have here, and think, you know, I just want to do what I want to do and serve God and, you know, whatever God calls us to do. One of my other main things, as you probably know, is where's my next guitar coming from? Where's my next motorbike coming from? These things all sort of go through my mind. You know, but the words of this song are very true, aren't they? Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow may never even be mine. Half of the people here, we're not being mine, I'll be here tomorrow. I'm not being morbid, but if God says that's it, isn't it? Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. You know, and I need God to help me with this, as I probably think you do, to let go of the past and live just for today. And that's quite a hard thing to do because we're all, in some way, have different levels of worry, and don't we? And thinking about how you think about the future is not how someone else thinks about it. Someone else might really worry about it. You might just like drift into it and think, well, God's got it anyway. We all think about it differently, don't we? You know, the Bible has some good stuff to say about living one day at a time, and we're going to look at some of that. These are so significant because of the words of Jesus and the actual words of Jesus when he's done his teaching. And the first one we're going to look at is one which I've preached about some of the parts of these verses quite a lot, but I'm only going to look at one verse. So it's from Matthew 6. I'm going to read from verse 25 to 34. Let these words sink into your heart. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body what you will put on it. Isn't life more than food? Isn't the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 inch to his height? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. This next verse I must have preached on for months before now, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The verse where I particularly want to look at this morning is this one. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Yeah, you've had those type of days, haven't you, where the trouble of the day is just enough to handle in the day. Never mind worrying about what's happened yesterday or tomorrow. You know, I've preached on some of these verses loads of times. I've done the don't worry sort of God's in charge sermon from the start of these few verses, and I've done sort of the have the faith in God's sermon probably loads of times from these same verses. Preach for months on seek first the kingdom of God and all the other things are going to be added to us. You know, and today I just want to look at verse 34, and I'll just read you that verse again so it's in your mind. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Really, I see three little sections here, and the first one is don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus isn't saying don't think about tomorrow. I believe he's saying sort of don't panic about it, don't let the worrying of it spoil today. It can easily spoil today thinking about tomorrow, and if you did that every day, then you wouldn't actually live in the day that God had called you to live in. Don't spend unnecessary time turning things over in our heads, because our Heavenly Father knows what we need and has already got it in hand, in his hands. The Bible says a lot about the hands of God, doesn't it, and about us being in them, you know, and he's carrying us and holding us. Do you know the word here used for worry? You might not realize what the actual word this word uses when you dissect it. The word is distraction. Distraction. Don't get distracted with the things of tomorrow or the past. It's another way of describing it. It's preoccupation with things causing anxiety and stress and pressure. Worrying so much about tomorrow that we can't actually live today because our mind is on something else. So whatever God brought for us today to do, we're inefficient to do. The second thing that it says is, he says that tomorrow will worry about its own things. In other words, me and God will deal with whatever comes tomorrow, tomorrow. Just leave it to God. Then Jesus, the third thing he says, just concentrate on today and all the things that come our way. You know, this is living one day at a time with God, isn't it? Who in here knows the Lord's Prayer? So if I started it, do you think we could sort of, do you think we could do it? On them, and I'll stop you at the point, and you'll know where I'll stop you. And the next line tells us what we're talking about. So, our Father, heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, stop there. What's the next line? Give us this day our daily bread. This is the prayer that sort of Jesus told us to pray when he went to heaven. He says, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. Not just talking about giving us the food that we need today, but giving us everything that we need to live today, and asking God in the day for the things of the day. Give us this day the things that we need. Make us this day the person that we need to be. give us the encounters this day that we need to encounter. Things that we need daily. So Jesus is not just saying don't think about tomorrow, but he's saying don't let the worry about tomorrow cause us to be distracted from the work that he's called us to do today. And it can. One day at a time. Let's look at another example of living one day at a time with God. Luke 12, verse 16 to 21. Jesus is speaking to all sorts of people here in parables, as he often did, a story which he'd made up to sort of show what was on his mind. These are the words of Jesus. Then he spoke to a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room for my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not," isn't this one, "rich towards God. So is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Again, these are the words of Jesus in a story. And I think this paints a picture somewhat of today's society, doesn't it? But they all want bigger. They all want more. We all want to, not saying us, but keep it for themselves. It's not a society of sharing and caring, and it's just everybody for themselves, it seems to be anyway to me. Be a millionaire, then you can relax. Now, if you're a millionaire, you could buy what you like, you could relax, you could enjoy yourself, you could enjoy life. That's what people think. They're so fixed on winning the lottery, aren't they? You know, if you talk to people at work or in the streets, do you play the lottery? Yes, I do. Why? Because I want to be a millionaire. And I think that being a millionaire is the answer to everything that is wrong in their lives. But what if God says, that's it, there's no more? They could have the ticket in the hand that says that they're a millionaire and it's going to be paid into the bank, and then God says, you know, that's it. There's no tomorrow for you on this earth. If you remember a few months ago, there was a story about a submarine disaster. Can you remember the one that went down in the deep underwater submarine? Nobody knew what happened to them. It just went silent, didn't it? It turned out that everyone in that submarine that day, you know, had just been killed. They just died and just sort of wiped off the face of the earth. Nobody knew. Do you know that every single person in that submarine was a millionaire? Every one of them. They all could have not worked a day in their life if they wanted. You know, they all, in theory, got every practical thing that they could ever want. Me and you couldn't even afford to go down in the submarine that they went down in. You know, for that visit to the Titanic or wherever they were doing, they got every single thing that they could ever want. Yet God just says, that's it. Tomorrow's not going to be yours. So what was the point of all the money? I'm not saying that Christians can't be millionaires, because I believe they can. And I believe they are Christians that are millionaires. But it's how we handle our money and our time and love that God is interested in, isn't it? The money's not, doesn't matter, as we're seeing again, once again, that everything in God's, in the world, God owns, and he can just give it or take it from whoever he likes. Verse 21 says, "So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Anyone who only thinks of self and not God is like this man." Jesus told this story for a reason, didn't he? We have to be rich towards God in all that we do and have. What does that mean? It means giving him our all. It means giving him our best. Not what's left. You know, not, "Oh, tomorrow, God, you know, I'm going to do this for you." And God's saying, just do it today. Just live today. The moral of this parable is, money can't buy you another day on the earth, really. That's what people would read into this story, isn't it? When God says it's your time, then it's your time, it's over. So we have to live every day for him, don't we? So really, as though it was our last day, what would you do if the voice of God spoke right now in this minute, not me, and said, you've got an hour. No, you've got 3 hours. You've got 6 hours. What would you do? Would you run out of this place and go and try and sort out your affairs? You know, would you go and see, would you be frantically phoning up your family that don't know Christ? What would you do? Because it would just cause panic, wouldn't it? But it could be that. It could be that we could walk out here and that could be it. We just don't know, do we? What are me and you and God going to achieve for the kingdom today? One day at a time. I want to bring you another scripture from Psalm 118. This is only one verse. It's verse 24. I hope you'll know this well. You probably sang the song. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day we're on this earth is another day, is a blessing from God. The Lord has made it, and there's two things here that it says that we're trying to do. First of all, we have to rejoice in it. We have to rejoice in the day when we get up in the morning, say, you know, start rejoicing and praising God and thanking Him for the day. In other words, give thanks for the day and the things God has given us already and the things that He's called us to do and that He involves us in His plan and for the way that He leads us in this day. It also says that we have to be glad and rejoice in the day. Being glad, being happy and pleased. I think a better way of saying glad is contented. You know, it's not talking about walking around with a smile on our face, laughing all the time at every single thing. It's being contented in God, isn't it? That is what being glad is. So every day we have to try and give thanks for the day and try and be happy and contented with what God has given us each day. And I'm not saying don't look to the future. I'm just saying that's tomorrow. You know, we've got stuff that we need to do today. Answer this question truthfully. Do you and me have days when we feel anything but glad and anything but content? I'm sure we do, and I wouldn't believe you if you said that you didn't have any days like that. Because we do. We're human, aren't we? Of course we do. You know, David had a bit of advantage when he wrote this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it, because he was having a good day when he wrote that. But you don't know that David had so many bad days, you know, so many awful days as well. The day that David wrote this psalm, he was having a good day. The whole psalm is praise to God, but it gives us something to aim for, doesn't it? This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to choose to rejoice, and I'm going to choose to be glad, and I'm going to be choose to contented with what God has given me this day. David was making a declaration that whatever happened that day, that he was going to choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad. And it talks really there about a positive attitude towards God, doesn't it, and our Christian lives. A daily prayer even. I will rejoice and be glad today, Lord, because you are in my life, because you are leading me, because you've got a plan for my life. And as I said, as the song says, we're going to do that one day at a time. Choosing to be glad and rejoice is not always easy, is it? Some days you just don't seem to be content or be anything but content. But with God's help, with the Holy Spirit's strength, we can come through each day, one day at a time. Sometimes life seems like it's a battle, doesn't it? Some days you're just battling all day because of maybe sickness or, you know, you don't seem to have the Holy Spirit with you, you just can't seem to concentrate. But it says that yesterday's battles are over. God says, forget yesterday's battles. Remember the good things. Forget the battles. Tomorrow's aren't here yet. You know, that's another day. That's another thing. So we fight and we praise and we be glad and we be content. We hang on to God today, the day that He's given us. We pray today for the things of the day. We pray for our daily needs today. We pray for our daily protection today. We pray for His guidance and His presence in our lives today. And we pray that it leads us into the situations that he wants us to be in today, you know, that will affect his kingdom, that will build his kingdom. What are me and you going to achieve today with God's help? One day at a time is enough for us to worry about. We're mere mortals, and God can take care of the rest. And today is that day. Amen.